Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to Living Hope. We are glad that you're here. And welcome to those of you joining us online. We like to begin our services with this greeting that I think it's been pretty much forever that Christians have greeted each other with this. The Lord be with you. Thanks. That's one way that we tell each other, hey, God is with us. You know, and that we want to be open to his presence, open to being aware of his presence with us. I heard some folks say a while ago on something I was listening to that like God meets us in reality. And I thought, well, of course he does. But then I realized like, oh, wait, sometimes we think that God meets us like in this pretend land where we pretend everything's great, everything's fine, where we put on a little show, we show up at church or what, you know, whatever. And no, God meets us in reality when we're honest about what's going on, about what life really is like. And so that's where God meets us today. So let me pray for us that we can be honest with God as we approach him this morning. God, we don't want to pretend, and we thank you that you don't ask us to. In fact, if we try that, that's not where we find you. We find you in reality, where we really live, and you are with us today. Help us today to be honest with you. Help us to be honest with each other. Help us, God, to be open to connecting with you, that the things that we sing and pray, that they might be true, and that we might be ready to hear what it is that you want to say to us, whether those are words of comfort or wisdom or healing or forgiveness or strength or challenge, whatever it might be, God. It's an amazing thing that the God of the universe wants to connect with us. Meet with us today. So please, God, use everything we do in this service, the songs, the prayers, the scriptures, the table, use everything about it to open us up to you, to help us to hear your voice, to connect with your Holy Spirit who is with us right now. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, if you're able, interested, let's stand and let's sing to him as we begin. Thank you.
So Lucas, Courtney, and I were invited to join some of our friends out at an event yesterday called Portage Strong, and it was really amazing to see, like, another example of how our community keeps coming together to support each other. And I know that they were giving away food free, and it was a lot of different restaurants. And after one restaurant would run out of food, then the next one would pop right in. They'd run out of food, the next one would step right in. Ultimately, Meijer jumped in, and then they started running out of food. And at one point, I think they thought there were going to be 700 people. And we were only expected maybe to do like 45 minutes, an hour and a half of music. And we ended up doing at least 3 hours of music. And 2,500 people were fed. And that's not to say that it was only 2,500 people. That's how many people they fed. Just one community coming together. I mean, together we do amazing things with God on our side, that's for sure. I mean, we even had and everybody. It wasn't a really Christian event or even billed as a religious event even, but even the DJ was talking about God. And at the very end, the mayor had prayed with everybody and shared his faith. So it was beautiful. It was a beautiful thing. This song nobody knows about, or at least you don't know it. We wrote it at the church I used to go to. But it's a really, I love this song. And so I'm very glad to share it with you all. And I helped write it so I can share it with you.
Let us be. God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time. With no point of reference, he spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of life. And as you burning star, a signal fire of grace. Creation sings your praises, so will I. God of your promise, don't speak in vain, no syllable empty or void. For once have spoken, all nature and science follow the sound of your voice. And as you speak, 100 billion creatures catch your breath, evolving in heart and everything you say. Every painted sky a canvas of your grace. Creation still obeys you, so will I. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. If the mountains bow, so will I. If the oceans draw your greatness, so will I. For if everything exists to lift you high, so will I. If the wind goes where you send it, so will I. If the rocks cry out in silence, so will I. God of salvation, you chased out my heart through all of my failure and pride. On a hill you created the light of the world, abandoned in darkness to die. As you speak, 100 billion failures disappear. Where you lost your life so I could find it here. If you left the grave behind you, so will I. I can see your heart and everything you've done. Every part designed in a work of art called love. If you gladly chose surrender, so will I. I can see your heart. It every precious one, a child you died to save. If you gave your life to love them, so will I. Like you would again 100 billion times. But what measure could amount to your desire? You're the one who never leaves the one behind. You're the one who never leaves the one behind.
Amen. Amen. I invite you, if you would, to pray with me. Lord, when we stop and think of your greatness, of the fact that you speak and things happen, that, Lord, when we don't praise you, the rocks cry out. And, Lord, this great big God that you are, this God that's beyond anything we could understand, anything we could even begin to wrap our minds around, love us. You love us enough to have sent your Son to die for us. It's overwhelming when we think about it. And yet, Lord, we are so humbled in accepting that love from you. We are so grateful that your love is demonstrated in so many ways. It was demonstrated in the fact that you died for our sins to be forgiven, for us to have right relationship with you. But Lord, you love us in the big things, in the little things. In the frustrating traffic, Lord, you love us. In the disasters in our lives, you love us. In the chaos, in the peace, in the good, in the bad, Lord, you love us. And we thank you this morning. And we want so much, Lord, to express back to you our love for you. It may not be enough, but it's what we have. And Lord, may it be pleasing to you this morning. May our song of worship and our words of prayer and petition, may our time at the table that you invite us to, Lord, may it be pleasing to you this morning. As we present to you our offerings of praise and worship. I thank you, Lord, that no matter what has happened in the last week and 2 weeks, Lord, the last however long, no matter what's coming up tomorrow or next week, next month, next year, no matter what it is, you are with us. You are walking beside us. You are guiding us. You are leading us, Lord. We only need to follow and listen. I'm so very grateful this morning, Lord, for your mercy in our lives, for your grace towards us. And in all of this, Lord, we ask that you will be with Pastor Rich this morning. Be with him as he brings your word for us. Anoint him this morning. And may everything else today that is done or said, not just in this place, Lord, but as we leave from this place too, may it bring honor and glory to you as we pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. And now the peace of the Lord be with you. Thank you so much. Take a few moments, if you will, and pass the peace amongst yourselves.
All right. This is when I get to say hi to all of you again who are joining us online. Hello, while the people who are in the room are finishing their conversations. We're glad that you're with us. We've already seen people kind of chiming in comments, and we love that, to know that you're with us, because we don't get to shake your hand this morning. So yeah, drop us a line, say that you're with us, and if there's some way that we can be praying for you that you don't want to put in like a comment section on Facebook or something, you can always use the link that's on your screen right now, livinghope.info/connect, and any of us could do the same thing. It's just an online connect card that lets you say whatever you want to say to us. You know, if you have a question or you have some way we can pray for you, thank God with you, anything like that. Those of you in the room, you could do it on your phones, or you could grab a little green connect card back there on the little silver table by the door, and fill one of those out and just drop it in the offering box, and we can follow up with you this week. If you're giving today, you can drop that in there or use the link or the QR code or all those different ways that you can give. Thank you so much for those of you who continue to support the work that God's doing here and around the world through Living Hope Community Church. It's a good thing. On the back, I just highlighted some of the things that happen every week around here. This past week was one of those weeks where the building was used almost every night of the week, which is fun. But then this week is a more subdued week. We got the food giveaway that happens most Sunday afternoons, happening again today at 4 o'clock. And apparently they've got some extra food, so if you know somebody that needs food, feel free to stop by. Most Sundays at 4, they're right there. And then Wednesday nights, we've got a Bible and Life discussion group that happens. It's mostly grown-ups, but anyone's welcome. And then youth group starts at 6:30, middle school and high school students. And those who are recently in high school, they've got some recent grads who are sticking around and helping. So if you want to know more about that, Romeo can answer all your questions on that one. But before we dive into the message, I just want to do a real quick. Is there anybody in the congregation here that's still without power? I think I was hearing that most folks' power has come back on. Okay, good. Yours is back on. Good. All right. I'm very glad. Last night, yeah, I think I saw your Facebook post, and I thought, okay, great. I think you were the last person I was aware of in our congregation who was without power. So I'm very glad to hear that, Pastor Judy. So, yeah. Obviously, we are not all have our power back on in the region yet. So I'd love for us to continue praying for those who are struggling without it and for all those who continue to be hard at work to remove trees and get lines back up and all the stuff that they're doing. In fact, I would love it if we could just bow our heads and pray for a moment before we dive into this morning's message. Thank you, God. Thank you for the ways that you provide. Thank you for the ways that we get to be a part of that providing. Getting to hear about the Portage Strong event yesterday and all the different ways that neighbors have looked out for each other. And God, it's been a beautiful thing. None of us want to go through moments like this, but when they hit us, God, it is good to see the ways that your grace flows through people to meet the needs, to let people know that they are loved and cared for. God, please continue to do that for those who still find themselves without power. God, we pray that you'll continue to support and strengthen those who are hard at work fixing all the stuff that was broken by that storm. And God, you know there's going to be, even when the power comes back on, that's not an end to everything. There's the costs that come from recovering from these kinds of deals and the lost work, the lost income. God, we pray you'd continue to provide. And we pray that today, as we open your word, that we would hear your Holy Spirit speaking. Thank you, God, for loving us enough to meet us here today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're in this little series called The Greatest of These, based on that passage in 1 Corinthians 13, where he says that, you know, these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. That love is the cornerstone of Christian faith. It's the reason why Jesus came and lived and died and rose again, was out of love for you and for me. And last week, we went back to the basics, and that's what Jesus said, was, look, you want to know what God expects of us? Love God with all that you are. Love your neighbor as yourself. Everything else flows out of these things. And I just repeated one verse from last week there at the beginning of your notes from John 13, where Jesus said, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So there's all kinds of people that are following all sorts of leaders, all sorts of teachers, all sorts of examples, but this is how people know you're following my example. This is how people will know that I'm the one setting the pattern for your life, is if you love one another. Bless you. Man, what's going on? Blessings to everybody in the room. There's lots of sneezes happening and stuff. All right. He said, it's not going to be about who you vote for. It's not going to be about the clothes that you wear. It's not going to be your ability to get a passing grade on some theology quiz. People will know you're my disciples if you love, by the love that you display. last week we were looking at that, the fact that Jesus was challenged. He was asked by someone, you know, about the greatest commandment. And we have a similar story in Luke that takes things in a little different direction. It says, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, what is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? And this expert in the law answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your strength and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I don't know if he was there when Jesus answered that way earlier on some other occasion, or if he just also happened to agree with Jesus that this is the center of what God expects. But he gave the same answer Jesus did. So Jesus says, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. Love God with all you are and love your neighbors yourself and you'll be fine. But he wanted to justify himself. And here's where things kind of turn sideways. They're going a little bit different direction as Luke tells this story. This expert wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? If I've got to love my neighbor, all right, so who counts? Who do I have to love? Who am I required by the law, by God, to love? And who's on the other side of that line, right? Who do I have to be kind to and patient with? And all those other things that we looked at from 1 Corinthians 13, you know, that love describes. And who do I get to be rude to? Who do I get to be short with? Who do I get to ignore when they're in need, right? Who is my neighbor? Who's inside that circle? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And I wonder at this point if everybody kind of went, oh, he's doing a story again. You know, just give us an answer. You know, you ask a question, just give us the answer. And instead, you're going to tell a story. Okay, all right, settle in. He's telling a story. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road. And when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, we don't really have Levites, they were like temple helpers, basically. They worked at the temple. When he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. And here everyone's like, oh, okay, good. You know, these guys, these religious folks, they didn't help. But, and the person he puts in this spot in the story, but a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, it's like 2 days' wages, and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I'll reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. So he takes care of the guy, right? The details aren't that important. He uses the medicine of their day and all the rest. He cares for him in a way that the priest and the Levite did not. So Jesus says, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? So who was a neighbor? You're asking, who is my neighbor? Well, who in this story was a neighbor, who proved themselves to be a neighbor? And the expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Now, again, maybe you've been in church long enough that you've heard this story. Maybe you've heard me tell this story before. It's not my first time. But a Samaritan, in case you're unfamiliar, a Samaritan basically was someone that Jesus' audience, the Jewish people, were comfortable understanding being to be outside that line of my neighbor. If they're my neighbors, like, you know, maybe obviously it's my next door neighbors, you know, the people who are near me and like family and people I'm close to, like literally close to. But, you know, they were accustomed to extending that out to mean my neighbors mean like all of like my people, you know, the Jewish people. We gotta love each other, right? But Samaritans, they were the neighbors next door. And they worshipped God, but not the same way. And there's a whole history of how they had intermarried with other people after they'd been conquered by the Assyrians. And so they were kind of half cousins, sort of, but they'd deviated from the way that God wanted them to worship, and they'd mixed it in with some other stuff. And so it wasn't just that they were like, you know, heathens, like those, you know, Romans or something. They were like, you know, kind of on the edge, you know, close enough that like it stung a little bit, you know, like It's kind of like one of those crosstown rivalry kind of things, right? You know, it's like they're neighbors and they're close enough that we really don't like them. You know, we don't think about those people over there so much, but these guys right here, we're used to, you know, spitting on them when they walk by. You know, that's what they kind of expected of a Samaritan. If they had seen a Samaritan lying on the side of the road, they're like, yeah, good, you know, and kept moving. But I don't know why that's so funny. Okay, all right. And it's a Samaritan that Jesus puts in that part of the story as the one who proved to be a neighbor. It's like, oh, I'm used to him being outside that boundary, but Jesus brings him inside. Jesus says he is the one that truly acted like a neighbor. Maybe we've been drawing the lines in the wrong places. I feel like Jesus is trying to help us realize. Now, I've, you know, thought for years, and you hear other pastors do this, and I'm sure there's pastors that have taken the story the same direction I'm about to, where they say, okay, who would that be today, right? If Jesus was talking to us, if Jesus were to walk in and say, Rich, I've got it from here, you know, and I'm like, yes, sir, you know, hand him the microphone, and he tells the story, you know, he's not going to talk about priests and Levites and Samaritans because we don't have priests and Levites and Samaritans today. He would tell the story, and, you know, who would he put in there, right? You know, a person's walking down the road, gets, you know, attacked, beat up, left for dead, and your pastor walks by, you know, and you think, oh, good, he's a nice guy. He'll stop and help, but he kept going, you know, for whatever reason. He was, you know, facing his phone or something. I don't know. Yeah, Pastor Rich didn't help. And somebody else you recognize from church, you know, like, pretend you were the person on the side of the road. Someone else, you're like, oh, I recognize them from church. Maybe they'll help. No, they didn't help. And then who is it that walks by? I don't know. Who are you accustomed to having outside that line? And thinking, well, they're not, you know, neighbors exactly. They're somebody that if I read something bad about them on Facebook, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's true, and I'm sharing it right away, right? I've been, you know, I wanted, you know, you could take it in the politics direction, you know, Republicans and Democrats or something, and whichever one you aren't, that's the one that walks by and helps, you know. But lately, for some reason, I feel like I've been seeing a whole lot of my Christian brothers and sisters on places like Facebook really upset about their, I was going to say Muslim neighbors, but it's because they don't think of them as neighbors. They think of them as outsiders who shouldn't be here. Had somebody, you know, scrolling past my feed and somebody talking about Dearborn, Michigan and how, you know, they ought to send ICE up there and, you know, and get all these Muslims out of here. I was like, well, hang on, those are like citizens, most of them. You know, the vast majority of Muslims living in Dearborn, Michigan are either citizens or legal residents. They're not people who, like, sneaked in or anything. And I'm Googling to find out, like, what is the history of Muslims in America, and find out, like, there have been Muslims that have fought in every armed conflict that we've had in this country. You know, that we've had Muslim citizens of the United States for about as long as there's been a United States. But this person, who I know to be a committed Christian, you know, who I know to be someone who does lots of good and cares about their neighbors, was quick to share this thing about, yeah, all those Muslims up there in Michigan, they got to go. Or other people asking about rumors about, anyway, all kinds of things that get spread. And it makes me wonder, if Jesus were telling this story today, maybe that's who would come by. What would we do with that? If Jesus tells the story and your pastor walked by, and, you know, the person who greeted you on Sunday walked by, but a Muslim, as they came by, they stopped and they helped you, and they bandaged you up, they were moved with compassion, they proved to be a neighbor, and Jesus says, yo, be like them, do likewise. We can be uncomfortably quick to push people outside that neighbor line. To think, well, I'll love these folks, but those folks, they got to go. And I'm not talking about immigration laws and stuff. Again, this was about fellow citizens, you know, that this post was, that kind of sparked this thought in my head. Oh, and it wasn't just this friend of mine, of course. This is what I typically do. When I see something shared, and I'm trying to find out, what's going on here? What's the story behind this? You know, like, they're sharing someone else's post, so I click on the original post, and I'm looking at that. Because half the time, someone has commented and said, oh, you misunderstood, and they link to something that really happened, you know. Like, oh, that wasn't a picture, that was a picture. And so I find out the truth, you know, because someone has already shared it on the original post. comment. And this time I'm scrolling through the comments on that original post, and I'm just seeing so much ugliness aimed toward the Muslims in Michigan. Who is my neighbor? If I've got to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, strength, I've got to love my neighbor as myself, who is my neighbor? It feels to me like Jesus just wants to push that line to include everybody, that everyone is my neighbor. Anyone I might come across who's in need is a neighbor, someone that I need to love, care for, do good to. In both Matthew and Luke, Jesus has a moment where he says, well, in Matthew 5, he puts it like this. This is part of his Sermon on the Mount. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Now, the first part, love your neighbor, that's he's quoting from Leviticus there, but the hate your enemy is a part that they'd added on at some point. You know, love your neighbor, but hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So not just people you don't like or who don't like you. Pray for people who persecute you, people who are actively harming you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. He's saying your Father in heaven is indiscriminate in the love that he shows. He doesn't just love the people who are good, who acknowledge him, who actually do love their neighbors. He even provides for those who are evil, those who are unrighteous. Our Heavenly Father loves our enemies and calls us to love them as well. That's how we show ourselves to be children of our Heavenly Father. We're acting like him. It's kind of like when Jesus said, they'll know you're my disciples if you love each other. Now Jesus is saying, you show yourself to be children of your Father in heaven if you love even your enemies, if you include them in that circle of people that you need to love. Now this is hard, okay? This is not easy. I'm not standing up here as someone saying, so come on, let's just do that, right? Let's just like, oh, just stop hating and start loving. No problem, you know? When it's someone who has persecuted you, who has harmed you, right? I mean, we know that God loves, you know, like the victims of violence, but then God also loves the victimizers. Obviously, he doesn't love the evil they're doing, but God provides sun and rain for the evil and the good. We know that God loves those who have suffered abuse, but then God also loves those abusers. He loves those who have been trafficked, and he loves the traffickers. Again, that's not a statement of God loving what they're doing, the evil that they're doing, but he loves the person that's been caught up in that evil. Just one of the random podcasts I was listening to this past week ended up telling the story about, was it Isaac Newton? Is that the guy that wrote Amazing Grace? And who used to be a slave trader back in the day, and how God even loved him. And that's why he includes that line in Amazing Grace, that who saved a wretch like me. And that God loved him when he was sailing ships across the ocean with kidnapped slaves in the belly of the ship. God loves us before we love him, when we're still stuck in the evil that we've wrapped ourselves up in. God loved us when we were his enemies, and he invites us to love our enemies as well. I like how he puts it in Luke's gospel. He says, but to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. I like it because he just kind of gives some simple things. I can do that. Love your enemies is kind of broad, but okay, do good to them. All right, do good is a little more specific. I can think of ways I can do something good for them. You know, and I don't know who you have in your mind right now. I don't know what enemy is popping up in your you know, brain, in your imagination. Maybe you've got someone that's front and center, someone who has hurt you. Maybe it's somebody at work or at school that, you know, is annoyance or a bully or something like that. And maybe it's someone in your family or in your life that has made themselves an enemy. And he's saying, look, do good to them. If they hate you, you do good to them. If they curse you, you bless them. If they mistreat you, you pray for them. Now, usually what I encourage, and I'll encourage you again today to do this, is to take that list in reverse order, okay? If you're struggling to love some enemy, if there's someone that you're like, I don't know how I can love them, God, well, start just like I did with prayer, okay? Tell God that. I don't know how I can love them, God. You know what they did to me. You know how awful they are. You know how they make my life a living hell every day when I have to go by them. You know, whatever it is. Just admit that to God. Be honest with God. If this is reality, live in that reality and recognize that God is present with you in it. And then pray for them. I've mentioned before, just mention again in case you want to try this. I was at a conference decades ago, and someone up on stage mentioned that their pastor had challenged them to pray for 90 days for that enemy. And they decided, I'm going to journal my prayers. I'm going to write out my prayers for that person just to make sure I do it, you know, every day. So I can look back and say, yep, day one, day two, I did it. Every day I prayed for them. And they said, you know, by the time they're sharing their story on stage, they're well past that 90 days. And they said, day one, my prayer was short and angry. You know, my prayer for them was, God, I hope you do something awful to them for what they did to me. And that was kind of like their whole prayer for them on day one. I prayed for them. I prayed that you'd hurt them, God. You know, that was their prayer. We see that sometimes in some of the Psalms, even in the Bible. Boy, there's one of the Psalms that ends so horrifically. It says, happy are those who dash your baby's heads on the rocks. You know, that's in the Bible. Awful verse. But it's someone who probably lived through this enemy doing that to their own children. You know, when you conquered us, you ripped babies out of our mother's arms and killed them. And, you know, happy are those who get to do that to your kids. Like, if your prayer is short and angry, start there. Okay? That person who stood on that stage that day said, as I look back over my prayers over those 90 days, the first ones were short and angry. And then over time, as I continued to in my conversations with God, bring up this person, over time I started to, you know, I mean, I'm connecting with God, the God who made that person, the God who loves that person, the God who sent his son Jesus to die for them, just like he died for me. And by the end of that 90 days, they were genuinely praying for God to bless them, for God to do good to them, for God to show them ways that they could do good to that person. God was changing their hearts. And by 90 days, they could say they genuinely did love that person and were looking for ways to bless them and to do good for them. Maybe that's a challenge you need to take. If Jesus is Lord of your life, if he's the one that you've said yes to, if he's leading you, okay, let him lead you in this. Do what he says. Pray for them. Find ways to bless them and to do good. It doesn't mean you're going to be able to do it all today or do it well today, but you can start. it made me think of Romans chapter 12 where he says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. You know, they curse you and you want to curse them back, right? You know, they give you the finger, you want to, you know, fly one back at them. He said, don't repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what's right in the eyes of everyone. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. He puts an if on the beginning of that. He's just realistic. He's like, realistically, you might not be able to live at peace with everyone. There might be some people that just refuse to live at peace with you. Okay, as far as it depends on you, if it's possible, live at peace with them. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. God says, I'll take care of that. You don't have to carry that weight. You don't have to carry that around saying, I got to make sure that they get what's coming to them. God's like, no, you weren't meant to carry that weight. That unforgiveness, if you feel like you're the one that's got to punish them, you're the one that's got to, you can't let go of what they did to you because you're afraid if you let go, then they'll never get what's coming. God's saying, look, trust me, I can take care of this. And you can trust him. You can let that go. You can entrust that to God. On the contrary, and he quotes Proverbs 25, he says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you'll heap burning coals on his head. So if you want him to get what's coming to him, do that. He's like, you be good, and that'll really mess with him, you know. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the pattern that Jesus set for us. He didn't overcome, he wasn't overcome by evil, right? Jesus did not return evil for evil. Jesus overcame evil with good. And it's what he invites us into, to follow him to this place where we find that we are able to love as our Heavenly Father loves, indiscriminately. To be able to love even those that we're accustomed to, that our culture, or our family, or our upbringing, or our life up to this point has taught us, nope, those people on the other side of that line. I got my neighbors, I'll love them, you know. Me and mine, I'll love the people who love me, but those folks, no, I gotta keep them over there. No, we gotta love them as well. I feel like I have to say this every time I mention this. If it's an abusive situation, you might need to love them from a distance, okay? If you've been abused, that doesn't mean you just like welcome them back home, like, yeah, hit me some more. You might need to love them from a distance, but if you're following Jesus, you don't have the option to just hold on to hatred or anger or bitterness or unforgiveness. You got to find a way, and I think prayer is a great place to start. You got to find a way to love even your enemies. Because God's goal, I believe, eventually is for just there to not be anybody on the other side of that line. That his love just encompasses everyone. And that everyone who encounters his kids encounters that all-encompassing love. I feel like I got to say it. Repeat this from last week. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. It's a nice thing for me to stand up here and say, yep, let's all love our enemies. It's a very different thing to do it in the actions that we live in our lives, to truly find ways to do good for those who don't like us. But it's what we're called to. It's the love that never fails. It's the love that's greater than anything else. It's the love that's at the core of who God is. We're going to talk about that more next week. Right now, let me pray for us as we prepare to celebrate communion together. Thank you, God, for loving us when we were at our most unlovable, when we were enemies of yours. That's when you sent your son Jesus to love us anyway, to shine light into our darkness, to heal us where we are broken, to take the worst of our evil and sin as we nailed you to that cross, as we took your life. Jesus, you took that and loved us anyway. You went ahead and conquered sin and death so that you could set us free from the sin that, frankly, we are just unable to get free of ourselves, so that we don't stay on a path that leads to death and destruction for us and for the world. Jesus, you loved us so that we could become a people of love, loving you with all that we are, loving our neighbors as ourselves, and including every last person we will ever meet in that love. Help us, God, not to see enemies. Help us to see your kids, maybe estranged, but the people that you love nonetheless, and that you want to love through us. Give us wisdom to know how to approach that. God, change our hearts, our attitudes. Change us from the inside out by the work of your Holy Spirit. That's the only way that we're able to be this kind of people, to be children of our Heavenly Father, to show ourselves truly to be your disciples, Lord Jesus. It's only with your help. And so we come to you today. We come to this sacrament of Holy Communion grateful for the chance to celebrate the love you've shown us in your son Jesus, and grateful that we get this medicine to heal our broken hearts, that we get this grace that you give us in this, I want to call it a meal, but you know, this tiny little bit of a meal, the grace that you give us that changes us as we see the ways that your grace has overlooked our sin, as we see the ways that you have loved us in spite of ourselves. You truly do change us into a people that can be a people of your love. So today we offer to you these simple gifts of bread and juice. And we pray that by your Spirit's presence here, we might meet our crucified and risen Savior in his body and in his blood. Jesus, we remember that you took bread, broke it, gave it to your disciples and said, "Eat this. This is my body broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." You took the cup, said, "This is my blood poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me." And so today, as we come to your table, we eat and we drink, remembering your great love, that you gave your life for us and for our enemies. Thank you, Jesus. Today, we acknowledge our need of your grace, the ways that in which we have not loved you with all that we are, or loved our neighbors as ourselves, and sometimes certainly not our enemies, the ways that we have been so quick to push people to the other side of that line. Forgive us, God. Thank you. Thank you for being compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, quick to forgive. Thank you that today we can experience your grace, washing us clean, giving us a fresh start. And I pray that you would fill us today with the Spirit of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, that you might change us from the inside out, that we might live in this world as the body of Christ, allowing your love to flow through us. Thank you, God. Thank you for the change that you work in us as we allow you to do your good and holy work. We are so grateful. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught us? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The musicians are going to come and lead us in one last song as we celebrate communion together. Pastor Judy and I will be up front here with a basket of bread and a cup of juice. And as we sing, you're invited to come forward, take bread from the basket, dip it in the cup, and eat it, and return to your seats. Whether you take the pita bread or the round gluten-free wafers or grab one of the little cups and take that back to eat at your table, that's good. The invitation is open for all of us who are saying yes to Jesus today. All of us who are hungry for his grace and grateful for his love. So let's celebrate. Thank you, God, for having your arms open wide to all of us, for the great love that you've shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Again, I pray, fill us with the Spirit of Christ. Change our hearts. Change our lives. That we might live in this world as the body of Christ, helping others to know that they're loved by you because they see that they are loved by us. Thank you, God. You have been so good. We are so grateful. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.